S. Yes, they are in all of the languages of the earth. D. Are mistakes also made in Hebrew? S. Yes, it is almost as easy in Hebrew as in Aramaic. The words have many meanings. Hebrew uses letters but they do not use vowels, only consonant hyphenants, so many words are also possible. All this would make it very difficult on the scribe. If they made one mistake, they could change the whole story, even through simple ignorance. S. Or fear, yes. I am not a scholar. I do not know of men's reasons for things. With this information in mind, I will present Sadi's versions of the stories from the scrolls and the Torah. There are many differences from our modern Bible. It must be remembered these are what he was taught by his teachers, so it is the truth as he saw it. But he was closer in time to the originals, so who knows? Accept them as food for thought. Scrolls and biblical stories. D. We have a book today that has some of your teachings in it, but it is supposed to have been written by many different people. They have names for the different parts of the books. One of them is called Isaiah. S. Yes, there is the prophet Isaiah. You are saying book. It is not a book, it is part of Torah. It speaks of the prophet Isaiah. And there is Ezekiel and Deborah and Benjamin and the story of Moses and Ruth, and many, many others. Deborah was one Bible character was not familiar with. It is the part about their judges of Israel. She was one of these. She was one of the lawgivers. For the Israelis to have a woman over them was something of an unusual occurrence. And many of them could not stand the fact that they were being ruled by women. She was a very wise person. Her story is not part of Torah, it is in some of the scrolls. In the Bible Deborah is barely mentioned in the 4th and 5th chapters of Judges. I asked if he had ever heard of one part called Genesis, but he was not familiar with that name. When I explained that it told of how the world was formed, he said, "You mean their foundation? It is just the beginning." He also did not recognize the name Exodus, but they had the story of Moses. It was very important to them. I am unfamiliar with the Torah that is used today in the Jewish religion, but I asked him which parts were included in his. S. The Torah, it consists of the laws and the prophecies. And then basically from the time of Abraham. There is very little of what went before. The stories are in the writings, but not in the Torah. It begins with the point of the creating about Abraham and that he is the leader of the people of Israel and it goes on from there. D. Does it end with the stories of Moses? S. No, it ends with the prophets. Some of them are in the Torah, some of them are just in the other scrolls. But it is the work of putting them together. I'm trying to fit everything together of the promises. D. Who is the last prophet in the Torah? S. Let me think. I believe Zechariah. I thought it would be easier if all the stories were in one scroll. His answer caused laughter among the listening group. S. If they were all on one scroll, that would be a very large scroll. It would be too big to lift. 146. Jesus and the Essenes. We stumbled upon his ability to tell stories quite by accident. It had never occurred to me to ask Sadi for information of this type. The following stories were originally sprinkled throughout the transcripts and appeared over the 3-month period at random. I have combined them in this section for reading out of context. Since it is a known fact that our Bible has undergone many changes down through the years, there may be more of the truth here than we would like to admit. At least read them with an open mind. Sodom and Gomorrah. I was asking him questions about the Dead Sea, or the Sea of Death as he called it. The Qumran community was located on the cliffs at the edge of this body of water. All I had ever heard about it was that it was very salty and would not sustain life. This peculiarity has never really been satisfactorily explained. With this, the Sea of Death scrolls and biblical stories in mind, I asked if the sea had any peculiarities about it. I was taken off guard by his answer. S. It has sometimes the smell of tar, or resin, or pitch. Yes. They say that toward the south that there are pits of pitch and that this is part of it. Also nothing grows in the Sea of Death. There are a few plants along the edges. D. Is this why you call it the Sea of Death? S. It is called this because it is upon these shores that Gomorrah and Sodom were brought to destruction. and it is to remind us of this. I glanced quickly at Harriet and saw she was as surprised as I was. This was certainly unexpected. We had heard the Bible story, but had no idea these two infamous cities were associated with the Dead Sea. Note the reversal of the names as we are accustomed to hearing them and the different pronunciation of Sodom. It was obvious none of this came telepathically from our minds. D. O. We've always thought the name meant that nothing would grow there. S. interrupted, this is why nothing grows here. D. How were these cities destroyed? Sudi answered nonchalantly, radiation. Again I was taken off guard, and asked if he could tell us the story of what happened. S. It is said that they were displeasing in the eyes of Yahweh, for they had gone from the path of truth. And when that they were given the warning many, many times to become back to the path of righteous soft -ness, that they laughed. And it is said that Lot was in these cities and he was visited by two great beings, who told him to take his family and leave and they would be protected. And he was upset because, I mean, this was his city after all, and even though it was still bad, these were his people. But they told him they were not worth saving, that they must start over and start again from anew. So he took his two daughters and his wife and they left. It is said that his wife looked back on the city and in so doing that she died, from what she saw and looking upon the face of the destruction with her eyes. I remembered the familiar story of her turning into a pillar of salt, but Sudi said there was nothing unusual about her death other than she looked back and saw the destruction. I asked if he Jesus and the Essence had an explanation for the destruction. S. Where these cities were located, there are pockets of the pitch and the tar and a great heat was caused. The lightning bolts. They struck from the heavens. And when they hit this, they caused destruction to rain, or could this word be rain? An interesting difference in definition, and it caused to explode. And the cities, they caved in about this, themselves, and sunk until that there was nothing left. D. Then you think that Yahweh caused all this to happen? S. It was his choice. Yes. This was something I could not delay research on. He had sparked my curiosity. I did not see that it would jeopardize the story of the Essence if I looked for information about Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of the best was readily available in my Encyclosoft-pedia. The thing to remember is that we had no interest in looking it up before, we had never thought of a connection. Archaeological and biblical evidence supports the locating of the five cities of the plain, of which Sodom and Gomorrah were two, in the Valley of Siddim. This was a once fertile plain located at the south end of the Jordan River Dead Sea Valley. The early invaders of the area found that the valley was full of wells of asphalt slime pits in the older translations. Ancient and modern writers attest to the presence of asphalt, Greek, and bitumen, Latin, around the Dead Sea, especially around the southern part. In ancient times it was called the Salt Sea and Lake Asphaltitis. At the southwest corner rises a low mountain made up in part of pure compact crystalline salt, which the modern Arabs call Jebel Uzdam, the Mount of Sodom. Recent investigations by geologists have revealed the presence of petroleum as well as seepage of asphalt. They also suspect the presence of uranium but feel it would be too difficult to mine. Ancient writers wrote of the foul odors and soot arising from the sea. It was so strong that it tarnished metals. Modern geologists say this is natural gas, which would have been unknown to the people of the past. They claim a possible explanation of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is that oil and the gas fumes may have been ignited by lightning, or an earthquake overturned the hearth fires causing an explosion. In the Bible it says that Abraham saw smoke rising from the plain, which went up as scrolls and biblical stories smoke of a furnace, a fitting description of burning oil and gas. It also might fit an atomic explosion. The surface of the Dead Sea, which is 1,292 feet below sea level, is lower than any known place on Earth. The sea then drops to a maximum depth of 1,309 feet and is six times saltier than seawater, making it also the saltiest place on Earth. This is a unique geological phenomenon. No other part of the globe, which is not underwater, lies deeper than 300 feet below sea level. Absolutely nothing will live in the water. According to Werner Geller in The Bible as History, explorers soft-hyphenations in that area came up with something strange. Although the body of the sea is incredibly deep, the south end is shallow, no more than 50 or 60 feet deep. When the sun is shining in the right direction, the outlines of forests can be seen beneath the water. They have been preserved by the high salt content of the water. This is evidence that before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the area was a lush and fertile plain. It is believed that the cities sank beneath the water in this area, and this would explain why it is shallower there. Salt is in the air, and everything in the area, including people, is quickly covered with a crust of salt. This could be an explanation for the story of Lot's wife turning into salt. When the explosion occurred, there must have been a tremendous amount of salt thrown into the air from the salt mountain located near the cities. I would like to venture to draw my own conclusions as to what happened there. In order for the cities to sink and the area to be rendered lifeless and desolate for all time to come, I believe a natural atomic explosion occurred. Could this also account for the incredible depth of the sea? It is possible with the presence of uranium as well as the other highly volatile chemicals in the area. It is interesting to note that no Geiger counter readings for radioactivity have ever been carried out in the area, according to writer Erik von Däniken. But this does not explain the presence of the two beings who came to warn Lot and his family. If it was a natural phenomenon, how did they know about it in advance? It has been suggested that instead of lightning triggering the explosion, it may have been ignited by laser beams from an outer spacecraft. An open mind can see many possibilities other than the orthodox. A new area of exploring this time period had opened up. Maybe Jesus and the Essence study could give us more stories and open up new avenues of thinking. Daniel, when I asked about the story of the fiery furnace, he said he was not familiar with it. So I asked him if he knew one about someone being thrown into a den of lions. S, you speak of Daniel. His story is in the scrolls. He was a wise man and a prophet. The people were afraid of his influence with this king. Because he was Jewish and did not believe as they did, they had him thrown to the lions. And so, when that he came out alive, they were full, for they knew that his God was the true God. It is said that the angel came and shut the lions' mouths. I rather think that Daniel spoke to the lions. This is possible. Man can have shared conversation with animals. Are they not God's creatures also? David Suddy told me once that he was descended from the house of David, so I asked if he had heard of a story about David that involved a giant. S, you speak of Goliath. It is said that Goliath was the head of the army of, I believe it was the Philistines. And the people of, let me think, who was the king? I believe it was Saul who was king, and they were at war. And every day the Israeli army would go out and be defeated, and many men would die, because of this leader Goliath. He would go out and he would challenge them all and would win. D, was he really a giant? S, he was larger than most men would be considered. He was with the Philistines, but he was not a Philistine. In other words, he was of some Israels. And it is said that David decided that he would take him on and would slay him, and he did. 'Tis said that he used his sling, that he was a shepherd and had much prowess with it, killing wolves. It keeps the wolves and jackals away from the sheep if you are a good shot, so you do not lose many lambs. David was just from the threshold of manhood. I believe he was 14. It was scrolls and biblical stories, something that he had been told that he would be able to do. It is not hard to defeat someone like that when you are in the right and they are in the wrong. In the case of that, it is better to slay one man to stop killing, than to let one man kill so many. So it is written. Joseph S, the story of Joseph is not of the Torah. It is said that he had many brothers be different mothers. But only one brother be the same, who was younger than him. Maybe he was the youngest, I do not remember. It has been a long time since I read this. It is said that he was sold into slavery by his brothers, because his brothers were jealous of the attention his father gave him. Because he was, let me think here, yes, I remember, he was the youngest child of his mother, and his mother died giving birth to him. And she was a much loved wife. And therefore this one was, how do you say, probably spoiled. He received many things that the brothers did not think quite fair. And therefore, his father presented him with a coat with sleeves and he was. Wait a minute. In our Bible story his father gave him a coat of many colors. I interrupted, a coat with what? S, a coat with sleeves. A robe that has sleeves. Usually the robe does not have sleeves, it is just an open robe. Anyway, it was nice and new and so they are jealous and they decided they wanted to take this from him and he said, no. You know father gave this to me. And they had an argument about it and so they threw him in a well, I believe it was, or lowered him down into it, I do not remember. And they said that, well, we cannot let him come back to father. He will tell what we have done. So they decided they were going to kill him. His brother of the same mother said, no, no, we cannot do this. He is our brother. You know, we cannot do this. And so, therefore, he decides that they would sell him to slavers that would go into Egypt and they would never see him again. So they sold him. D. What did the brothers tell the father? S. They brought the coat back and they had smeared lamb's blood, I believe, on the coat and said that he had been attacked by a lion and that he was no more. That this was all that they had found. D. Then what happened after the slavers sold him? S. His master finding out what an intelligent man he is put him to work Jesus and the essence for. Let's see, bookkeeper, I believe, I am assuming this is the word. It was pronounced strangely, and in charge of his estates. And his wife decides she wants Joseph and he says, no, no, no. So she gets him in trouble with that master, and that master throws him into prison. And, let me think now. There was an advisor to Pharaoh who had fallen out of favor who was also the, who had dreams. And Joseph being able to understand dreams, told him what they meant. And so when that the advisor to Pharaoh was released from prison, he told him to remember him. And in due time he did. And when Pharaoh had a dream, Joseph was remembered and brought to interpret and which he did. And in doing so he saved Egypt, because Egypt had 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Egypt was the only one that was prepared, and all the lands around were starving. So, it is said that when there were no more foods for his family to eat, he, Joseph's father sent them, the brothers, to Egypt. And Joseph is said to have found out that they were there and accused them of stealing, and saying that they must leave the youngest son with him, who was the brother of the same mother. And they could not recognize Joseph because he had changed so much. D. It had been many years. S. Yes, and, let me think. So they went home and they told their father and he was supposed to come back with them or something. I cannot remember. Anyway, they eventually met and everybody had to admit what had happened. But Joseph, being the great man that he was, forgave them and so did their father. And so they were great in Egypt. This is how that the family got to Egypt for they moved them there. It is a very long story and part of our history. Adam and Eve Sadi had mentioned Adam and Eve earlier, so I asked him about that story. S. The story of the creation of man and woman, yes. Matter from the clay of the earth when it was new, was Adam. And when God found that Adam was lonely and needed the other part of him, it is said that his rib was taken out. Though I cannot see this. Man has as many as women. But, anyway, his rib was taken out and a woman was made, to be his soul mate, the other half of him. Scrolls and Biblical Stories 153d, I wonder what the significance of a rib would be? S, the woman who is the ultimate mate is part of you and a part of a whole. D, do you think this is just a story or did they actually? S, interrupted, I do not know. I was not there. He said the name of the place was Paradise. When I asked him about the Garden of Eden, he had not heard of that name. D. Did Adam and Eve live in Paradise the rest of their lives? S. According to the legend they were cast out for trying to take from God what God wished to keep to himself, which was the knowledge of shame. They ate from the tree of knowledge, which was very curious. Why would you wish for knowledge if you had the choice of life and you had the choice of knowledge? How many would not choose everlasting life? I did not understand and asked him to explain. There were two trees. There was one of the tree of knowledge and one of the tree of life. Therefore, why did they say that they ate off the fruit of the tree of knowledge? Would not the most wish to live forever? This is very curious to me. I would rather be perhaps a little unwiser. If you live forever, you have much greater chance of gaining wisdom in that length of time. His strange philosophy amused me, but it did make sense. I asked what the trees looked like. S. They were one of a type and they were giant in size. I have heard that they were made of pomegranates, but this is, again, a legend. D. Was there anything in your story about them being tempted to eat off the fruit of one tree? S. It is said that the serpent tempted woman. And in being tempted, when she succumbed to this, it was part of, according to legend, why women must suffer during childbirth. I do not believe this, for women do not have to suffer. This was something that men have added to this story, I think. Why should the bringing of life into the world bring suffering? Of course they do not have to suffer. There are many ways of bringing a child into this world without giving the mother pain. You would learn the cleansing and the calming breath, and using, drawing the focus away from too much what your body is doing as far as keeping the movements going. And you would focus instead upon what is very nice and calming to you. And the Jesus and essence calmer the body is, the easier it is for the child to be delivered. It sounds very similar to the Modem Lame's methods. D. Are the women trained to do it themselves? S. There are women who are told the manner in which to do this. And of course there are other women and usually the mate is there with them. But I have not attended a childbearing. D. You mentioned the serpent. Do you mean it was a real snake? S. Some say that it was one of the beings of light who had fallen. He entered his spirit into the serpent. There are many legends about this, but I do not believe in this. I believe that man created his own downfall through his acquisition of greed and lust. The more you have, the more you want. And man created his own fall from the paradise that was. It is easier to say that the serpent tempted, than to admit that that serpent is part of yourself that is lower. D. What happened when they ate the fruit? S. It is said that they were cast out of paradise. And they realized that they had no clothes, and this was the bringing of shame into the world. And since then they have been trying to cover themselves up ever since. To have shame in the body when that this is your temple, this is not a good thing. This is what God gave you to spend your life in. You must treat it well, and treat it so that it will last you a lifetime. And to be ashamed of what is a God-given gift is a great sin. This reference to the body as a temple sounded like Jesus' comments in the New Testament. D. But you cover your bodies. S. But we do not hide. When we are children, there is a freedom of going about as the day you were born. It is acceptable. It is not shameful to have an openness about your body. You do not run and hide for cover for someone to see you without your clothes. D. In some communities this is very frowned upon. S. And they are usually the ones that have the most trouble. This explains the daily mixed naked bathing in Quran. It was an accepted thing. He had mentioned a light being who had fallen and I immediately thought of the stories of Lucifer as a fallen angel. But he had never heard of any stories about him. He did, however, know about the Archangel Michael. Scrolls and Biblical Stories 155s, I know of Michael. It is said that Michael is at the right hand of God. He is one of the beings that never came here. He has always been with God, for he did not venture away. And therefore he is as perfect now as on the day of creation. And he is like a messenger for God. If he wishes to speak to someone, perhaps not quite so directly, God will sometimes send Michael or Gabriel. Pronounce Edvri first. D. How does he speak to you? S. Thought to thought. How not? D. You don't actually see him? S. There are those who do. There are those who need to. But it is not always a need to know in all who would hear him. He would appear to you or I differently. He would appear perhaps as something clothed in golden light, or perhaps just a sunbeam disclosed, or perhaps as a young man or even an old. It is all in how you view him, how you need to have this image of him. It could also be others. There are many who have not come yet. There are many who have not decided that this is what they wish to do. That they sit back and watch. Returning to the story of Adam and Eve, I said I had heard a story that there were giants in the world in those days. S. So it has been told. According to the stories that have been handed down, Adam was just what God decided man should look like in the final choice. That there were many, many ones who came before who were not perfect, and therefore changed. And in the times before there were many things that are not now. So it is very possible. D. There are many legends about strange animals. Do you think that's where the legends came from? S. So I have heard. It is a great possibility. There is more about this in the story about the creation of the world in chapter 15. Ruth, during a session when I was talking to Sudi as a child, I asked him what his favorite story was. I was surprised when he said, "I like of Ruth." I thought this was a rather strange choice for a child to pick. I can think of lots of stories from our Bible that would seem more exciting to a youngster. I asked him if could relate it Jesus and the essence, and the following is a strange phenomenon in itself. Usually the hypnotist has to ask lots of questions to keep the subject talking. They become so relaxed there is always the possibility they might drift off into a natural sleep. I have never had that happen, but it is a possibility. Katie had always been talkative while under any soft hyphen way. But this time, Sudi told this story and went 7.5 minutes without any interruptions. I did not ask any questions or do any prodding to keep the story flowing. I believe this is some kind of record, if there are any other cases of this happening. It is another example of how closely Katie was identifying with the personality from the past. Sudi told the story eagerly with the bubbly enthusiasm of a child wanting to share his knowledge. S. It is said that Naomi, her and her husband and her two sons went into the land of Moab, pronounced almost in one syllable, to earn a living. And that in doing so, these two sons grew up to an age and decided to take wives. Now it is said in the scrolls that we must not take wives of other than what we ourselves are. But they spoke with the priest about it and they were told, as long as they, the women, have accepted Yahweh as their God, they would be allowed to marry. So they picked the two wives that they would choose to marry, and they happened to be sisters. One was Ruth and I cannot remember her sister's name just now. Anyway, so it came to pass that several years had passed and there was a great sickness among the people. And Naomi's husband sickened and died, and also her two sons. And she decided she would go back into her land, which was Israel, taking with her what few possessions she had, and going back to her people. Then she told her daughters that they were young and they should stay here and marry and be among their own people. And Ruth's sister agreed to go back to her parents' house. But Ruth told her that when she left the house of her parents, she was no longer their daughter, and that Naomi was her family. Therefore, whither she would go, also Ruth would. And Naomi kept saying, "No, no. You cannot do this. It is strange. Our people are different." And Ruth says, "Do I not follow Yahweh as your people?" And she says, "Yes." "And do I not observe the laws?" And she says, "Yes. Therefore, I am one of you." And so she decided that rather than go alone, for it would be a very hard scrolls and biblical stories journey, they would go together. And they went together. And they made it home. And when that they got there, of course everyone mourned for the fact that Naomi was without a husband and had no sons to carry on the name. She went back to her house. They were not really poor, but not having very much money or things to eat or anything. And such is how they lived for a while. And Naomi had a cousin, whose name was Boaz, who was a leading man in his community. He was of the house of David and very important and a very righteous man and good. And he owned many fields, and Naomi sent Ruth out to the fields for gleaning, which was allowed, and told her that this would be a good thing to do, knowing that this would catch the attention. For even though they were poor, it is to bring shame upon the house, to show them up, that they are living in the same town with cousins and they must go to the fields to glean. Therefore the attention would be brought upon them. She was hoping that something would happen of this. Or perhaps, many say that she knew of it and therefore caused it to happen. But, anyway. So she went out into the fields and was gleaning, and the overseer's tried to discourage her, and she said that according to the law she had right to do this. Because they are the leaves that have been left. And this came to his attention of Boaz, and he found that she was his cousin, being married to his cousin. Therefore they were of a family. And he, seeing their problem, sent many food things to their house so that they would not have to do this.